Jerry Sokola here. I'm a curator for audiovisual at The Elephant.
My name is Griffin Makoha.
Okay. I mean, just starting out, what have been the overall sentiments of people as regards the BBI over the period since this conversation started?
The conversation is that the BBI was fronted first to cultivate, you know, to get grip of the power and getting other people on board, like sharing of the prime minister position, deputy prime minister positions, and the vice president. This was to help region proceed to get at least two positions. But with the flop, it will make the bargaining not very easy.
So what are the hopes of the people? What are people putting their hopes on now that the Court of Appeal has basically said this thing is dead on arrival?
The hope for the people is that they are waiting for their leaders. You know, immediately after the flop, their leaders have not come out strongly to say the way forward. But by Raila saying we move on, we are expecting him as a leader to give a platform or a way forward so that people can see what can help them in future.
So I'm thinking also, I mean, a lot of the governors in the region are pretty much on their last term. What are the key things that people are pegging their future hopes on? Who do people want to bring on board?
Like mostly in the region, I've seen the governors are championing for their deputy governors to take over because they're saying that the legacy of their side will only be comfortable to be fronted if their deputy take charge. And the voice on the ground is that they want somebody who can actually steer up development. And somebody who is going to act like a CEO. They are not looking at a politician. Like, they are looking at somebody who is able to manage their resources and steer up development. Yeah.
All right. The economy is not performing well overall, you know. How are people processing that? How are people coping with an economy that basically not giving them enough opportunities or jobs or, you know, money?
The economy has been ailing. Now people are looking at these medium, this SMEs, which are these small jobs, which are able to bring food on the table because many companies laid off many workers. So the works that are available at the ground, they are these small jobs, which are like in nature, we call them casual jobs, which are very few and the span of them, they are very short. So people are suffering on the ground, and we are not yet to see the economy coming back because Corona is still here to stay. But bottom line, it is going to be very tough for SMEs, which are striving to ensure that actually they continue employing people and being at par with other economies. But really, since people are really suffering on the ground.
Okay, and about 6 million young people who've turned 18 since the last election, they are going to vote. What would you say are their top priorities when they go to the ballot?
Many young people, they are looking for, one, economy recovery. Not economy recovery can be a big elephant, but when we split it down, we are looking at employment. Because when we have economic recovery, the issue of employment will be sorted. We have, and second, the issue of health. In this pandemic, we have realized we don't have well-equipped hospitals. When you are sick, you are not able to get medical attention, which will help you survive. Can we get leaders who are going to fix the issue? And third, we are looking at farmers who are suffering because of the impassable roads. We've had an issue of roads, small-scale farmers, they are unable to get their goods to the market. And fourthly, we are looking at a person who will be able to bring peace. At the end of the day, you can't have an economy which is recovering, good health, good jobs, good roads, when you don't have peace.
Now, I mean, still on that beat, do locals still all the hope of changes at the ballot, whether it's generational change, whether it's change in terms of political parties?
You'll agree with me. The issue of parties, it will play a big role. So the parties will be playing a big role. And to champion the development, people are afraid that with parties coming out very strong, good people are not elected. And people have been shortchanged when it comes to primaries. And if the parties can conduct primaries very well, I think we can get good leaders. And when you champion for, when you the national leader comes and say, we are going to have six people, piece. So you find people voting, they will vote as six piece. So the good people at primaries, when the elections are being done at primaries, the party election at primaries, they really play a very big role, because good people that are not having good rapport with the party leader at the end of the day are not elected. That is not very fair. Not fair for the people.
Okay, so I'm thinking, I mean, there's the OKA coalition, there's ODM, there's the Hustler movement. So what are the people's perceptions of the three groups? And in your assessment, just taking us through each of the three, how do you think they're going to perform?
The OKA side, when you look at the four candidates, starting with Kalonzo, Gideon Moi, Wetangula, and Mudavadi, people see Mudavadi is the force to reckon in that group. The four leaders, it looks like the ANC side, which is held by Mudavadi, and the Kalonzo side, they are the ones who have the numbers. So in the Western region, ANC under the leadership of Mudavadi is looking at it that Mudavadi is the one we should be given. And in the region, people are saying if Mudavadi is not going to be the flag bearer, they are not going to vote for the OKA. So this is an arithmetic which the OKA movement should calculate very well. And when you look at the ODM is has taken audience. When you go to the Hustler movement is cutting across. When you look at it, the Hustler movement is representing, let me not say the young people. We have the promises that he made to the Kenyans 5 years ago. And you look at it, the issue of the people are championing, the issue of the stadiums, the issue of employment for the youth. He had promised the youth that whenever somebody finishes the university, they'll get a direct internship programs. These are the things which are going to hound the Hustler movement when the real campaign starts, because he has not achieved what he said. So it will be very hard for him to convince most enlightened youth. I mean, the people who understand, they are looking at the future of this country. You know, we have different categories of youth. We have the youths who will depend on handouts, but we have other youths who are looking at the future of this country. Where will it be? So the Hustler movement will have a hard time to sell itself, but I'm likely seeing them getting a percentage, if not of a little percentage of people who are undecided.
Yeah. So Griffin, yes. I mean that's a very interesting breakdown. Then there's also this issue of infrastructure development. Of course, it has its own challenges with the SGR and the port, and all that. What are people's perception of the current president?
I think Uhuru as a president, actually people are relating to it after the handshake. The region was left behind in the first term of the governance. And with the handshake, actually, many things started trickling down to the Western region. And that is, we can say, that is the only change that can be seen on the ground. And Uhuru as a person, people are not looking at him as he has achieved a lot, because he has exhibited many failures in his first term. And they are saying, minus Raila having handshake, Uhuru could not have been able even to finish the second term. And actually, they are looking at it. These developments are only done because the handshake is in place. Minus the handshake, if the two duos, the deputy president and the president, were in power, I think as Western region, we could be counting off to the nothing to be coming to the Western region. So Uhuru has actually rubbed the region good after the handshake tea. Many developments have been realized after the handshake, and many events, companies like the Kikomi one and the reviving of Mambalo Stadium, they are courtesy of the handshake. So we are looking at it that this handshake actually has brought about some tangible development to the Western region.
The constitutional amendment bill, which the Court of Appeal basically said on many of the grounds that it's untenable. What has been people's reaction on the ground in terms of the ruling that was done basically the day before yesterday?
Yeah, as I had alluded earlier, we've had not really as previously it was the head-on approach. It has been very silent on the ground, but when you listen to people on the ground, they are really very much upset. They are not happy with the decision which was made, and they are looking at it that their leader will appeal for the decision which was made and actually champion for another cause which can help actually realize the dream. Because what people are saying on the ground, the BBI was not a document. It was a realization of somebody's dream. So that dream is like was not accomplished. It was left midstream. So they are saying that with the flop of the BBI, it means we'll still have the status quo of the only CDF and the county's money coming to the ground, which according to them, it is actually not well enough. They were hoping that the money that was going to come through the BBI, that is the World Development Funds, and the increase of county allocations was actually a good thing that can help the down economy to grow. Because you can see the developments which are made inside the counties are majorly on the funds which are being distributed from the revenue. So they are saying the BBI was able to bring these funds down through a certain amendment which was there, and they were able to get also that money. It was not all about the position. And lastly, you listen to people saying that actually if we had 5 positions, we'll look at it like we can get a vice president from Western, another prime minister maybe from Central, the president maybe will come from maybe Rift Valley. So they are saying that at least one of our own will be there. But they are looking at it if in the previous, in this current regime, it was only the 2 people who are leading the government. So if at the other trades feel like if we don't have our own there, our interests are not going to be presented at all. So the BBI was a dream that many people are looking at it. Actually, we could have at least 1 or 2 representation. But with this one flopping up, it means it's only the deputy and the president who are going to make major changes. And this is like they are saying, whatever we are getting, it is our tax money. So you can't say that when we are looking at the 35% coming from the exchequer, I'm a 45% coming from exchequer, it is going to help people down here. And with good governance, the governors working very well towards achieving their development goals, we'll be able to realize that dream.
Yeah. So another like a final on this conversation. How has devolution fared in the last 2 terms? Are there certain changes that need to be made to it to improve it, or is it okay as it is right now?
Actually, devolution has really worked on the face value. And so you expect a lot of hurdles coming up, like dispensation of funds. You'll find out that they take too long to actually give out money for devolution. This has really affected ability to achieve whatever has been promised. But in a nutshell, devolution is well welcomed by the people, and with good managers who are our county governors. Actually, we've seen the development being seen by many counties. So in a nutshell, devolution has really worked towards a local Mwananchi, only depending on the governor. Because most governors who have utilized their funds very well, they have been able to achieve. So what we are looking at is that at the end of the day, if we have good governors who are going to realize the dream that is as being envisaged. Lastly, the evolution changes that are supposed to be made. We are looking at the pact that is being championed. One, we need the investigative authorities, which are the especially the EACC, to actually come in and bring down a roadmap which can help these governors and their managers to actually ensure that all the funds that are being dispersed are actually utilized correctly. So if there is an item which can be put in place to curb corruption at this county level or at whichever level of devolution, actually that one will work. Secondly, they'll want the seat to be like a CEO seat, somebody who is versed with finance, somebody who is versed with planning, somebody who is versed with managerial skills. In fact, when you ask many people, they say, this governor seat should be like a CS, who is able, who is versed with the development agenda.
All right, I mean, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Griffins, on that. And just, I guess, what would be your closing remarks on this, this whole conversation in terms of we are here into the next coming elections? The constitutional amendment bill has failed, but still there's a lot of political realignment coming up.
Actually, the election is near, and we are looking at it to look at somebody who will champion for economic recovery. And when you look at the ground, we have many people who are championing for it. And actually, people are looking in the Western region, they are looking at it. Who is this person who will bring back the economy that has also lost its momentum? And with the political alignment, I can say we, at the moment, looking basing on the fact that Kenya, a political structure and level of engagement is so dynamic, you cannot predict the less than 1 year time remaining is very long for us to decide which is going to be the best. But bottom line, countrywide, we can see also other regions are all already having their appointment who are actually bargaining on their behalf. And lastly, most people on the ground, they are just saying, actually, we need, after the election, we move on. You can recall we have been having that issue of system, which has been actually bringing headaches. Because when you talk of issue of the system in place, you'll realize that many people are saying, in 2013 and 2017, our votes were not counted. So they are saying, actually, if the 2022 election, my vote can be counted, actually, it can be a good thing.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Griffins Makoha, for your insights into this conversation. It's a pleasure being able to just get the insights in terms of the Constitutional Amendment Bill, the political ongoings with barely a year into the elections. Thank you very much.
Thank you, too. Thank you.